Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it's good to be with you here in the middle of the week.
It is, and you had a great lesson on Sunday taken from Mark chapter 5 about the demon-possessed man, and that comes from probably my favorite section of the Bible. Mark 4, 5 flow together. We remember the chapter breaks are put in by man, not by God. And there's just a series of rapid miracles, one after the other after the other, that flows in those two chapters. Chapter 4 ends with Jesus demonstrating his power over the weather by calming the storm. As soon as that ends, we immediately go to chapter 5. Here's the man with legions of demons. Jesus shows he has the power over demons. As soon as that ends, Jesus crosses the sea. Here comes a man, his daughter is dying. In the process of going to her house, there's a woman with the issue of blood. Jesus heals her. He has power over disease. The little girl dies. He goes to her house. He raises her from the dead. All four of those powerful, impossible miracles over weather, over demons, over disease, over death was done by simply saying the word. The word of God was that powerful. And that's just, I think Mark throws all these together, just real close together, to show us the marvelous power. He's demonstrating that he is God on earth. There is nothing that he cannot do, and that comes out of that. Now, what's interesting about the demon-possessed man, and I just love this part of the story, is that the demons know who Jesus is. And they know what Jesus is going to do. He's going to send them to torment. And they beg Jesus not to do that, but to put them in this big herd of pigs that were there. One, the gospel counts that there's 2,000 pigs. So Jesus does that. The pigs go wild. They rush into the Sea of Galilee, and all 2,000 of them drowned. What a sight that would have been. And people sometimes wonder why. And I think there's two reasons out of that. First of all, demons are spirits. You cannot see a spirit. So how indeed would they know that the spirit left this man? Jesus put them in the pigs, knowing what's going to happen. And the audience around seeing all this and witnessing this could understand that indeed this man is free of a demon. He's not faking it now. The demons were in the pigs went to the sea, and they drowned. Which brings another question. That sure doesn't seem nice. I mean, somebody might say, I thought Jesus was supposed to be nice. He just killed 2,000 pigs. Well, actually, it was the demons who did it, not Jesus. But when you look on the big scale of things, animals are human beings. Human beings always come first. Human beings are made in the image of God, not pigs. And so 2,000 pigs, one person, Jesus will save the person. And we sometimes get that mixed up in our culture today.
Roger, I get the sense that you could preach for a long time out of Mark 4 and Mark 5.
I've got a lot of sermons right there.
It's a great section of Scripture, definitely. And I appreciate you kind of giving us an overview of that fascinating section of Scripture. Maybe it's been a little while since you read it, and you would do yourself very, very good to spend a little bit of time this week in that section of Mark's Gospel. We are on Wednesdays now wrapping up a little series where we have been bouncing off of our building blocks track of studies. If you've got building blocks questions, you can see all about it at charlestownroad.org. We've been fashioning these studies where people of all ages, families, individuals, Bible classes can go through and look at some fundamental questions. And so in September, we have been asking, what is salvation? Roger, you and I have talked a little bit about that word itself. We have just tried to follow the flow of Scripture, that in order to be saved, I need to be set free from the slavery of sin. I need to be redeemed. I need to come back home to my Father in heaven. I need to be reconciled to Him. We spend a little bit of time in our building block series this month talking about the prodigal son. You know, that son comes to himself, he comes back to his father, but the father doesn't leave him in the filth. He doesn't leave him smelling like the pigs. A new robe is brought. He is, in a sense, purified. And so we talked about how only God can purify or sanctify us. But even this past Wednesday, as we talked a little bit about sanctification, we emphasized this is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time decision or action. This is the lifestyle of a disciple of Jesus, and the word that comes through loud and clear in Scripture to describe this process, Roger, is transformation.
Transformation. And we look at the front part of that word, trans. It's the idea of a cross. We think about transportation, transatlantic. Those words kind of carry the idea of movement, of travel, of change, and that kind of is built into that. Probably one of the best known verses that describe this is in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so before us is really two options as we look at the culture we live in. We can blend in, we can go along with it, we can become part of it, or we become transformed. We stand out. We go a different direction. We are different because of Jesus Christ. And so the idea of transformation, being changed by the Word of God, that's the word we want to kind of focus on today.
I appreciate you bringing up that this is a choice. We spend a little bit of time on Sunday in before we got to Romans 12, Romans 6 and verse 16 that summarizes so powerfully for us what is on the line here. And it is framed as a choice. Don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of, and you listen to these two different paths, sin. Sin leads to impurity and lawlessness and ultimately to death, or I can present myself as a slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness, and our key word from last Wednesday, sanctification. And Roger, you even read for us that the end of sanctification is not death, but eternal life. And so in both the Old and the New Testaments, it's not unusual to find God essentially saying, here it is. This is the choice. Let me tell you where that choice is going to lead. Why not choose life eternal? And along the way, what he does to us is to transform us.
And one of the things we notice in other passages is our view towards the world. In the book of 1 John, it says not to love the world, nor the things of the world. Book of James says friendship with the world is hostility toward God. So we're with this faced with this consequences of either we're going to do what everyone else wants me to do or we're going to do what God wants me to do. Those two are not going the same direction. And in Romans chapter 8, again, another great passage in verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Either we become conformed to the world or we become conformed to Jesus. Either the world's going to shape us or Jesus is going to shape us. Those are the two options before us. And so the idea of transformation is being changed like Christ. When my boys were little, they had these toys called Transformers. We still got some. We stuck around, had them. Now I got the grandkids, and they'll come over, and I can't figure them out. You know, this thing's a dinosaur, but I got to be able to twist this part and twist that part, and pretty soon it changes into a car, and I can never get it right. But that's that's the toy. And that's what we're talking about here, is that you're changing. You're changing your nature. You're changing your thinking. You're changing your outlook to be like Jesus Christ. Now, Jason, let me ask this question here, because when we hear the word transformation, it's real close to the word transfiguration. And we remember that Jesus was transfigured up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John witnessing that. Is that the same thing we're talking about here, transfiguration and transformation?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up a few minutes ago the different parts of this word. It's not exactly the same thing, you know, transfiguration. You read carefully those gospel accounts, and Jesus's appearance, his figure, his countenance was changed. We're not necessarily talking about God overnight making your skin smoother or turning back the clock and making you physically younger. That key passage in Romans chapter 12 shows us this comes by the renewal of our minds, right? This is an internal sort of thing. The Apostle Paul in other places, as he writes to the Corinthian Christians, says, listen, our bodies are aging, they are weakening, they are growing weary, but inwardly we are being renewed. There it is again, day by day. And so even as maybe our physical bodies are not able to do what they once were, more and more, each and every day, our spirits can grow stronger. Heaven can grow to be more and more real. In fact, maybe you're listening to this on Wednesday morning. I'd really encourage you to approach this day from the standpoint that by this time tomorrow, I'm one day closer to heaven. You live with that sort of a mindset, and that's going to slowly transform the way that you look at yourself, your life, the time that God has given you. Roger, I don't know, maybe you can share with us what you think of when you hear this be transformed commandment, but when I hear that, two things pop up in my mind. First of all, there are some of us who grapple with, well, I'm not good enough yet to follow God. It seems like we talk a lot about that on this podcast. You and I hear that from real life people pretty frequently. We need to feel the weight of what God is telling us. We're not good enough. We're not there yet. We're not already perfected. We need to be transformed. God is in the business of taking what is broken and mending it. But also, you know, I'm afraid sometimes it's easy for us to feel as if we have arrived and the transformation has already been completed. And now look at, you know, how lucky God is to have us on our teams. Both of those extremes miss the beautiful truth there in Romans chapter 12.
Yeah, and another passage I'd share is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Where there the apostle says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And so there the emphasis is we are being transformed into the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
And of course, that would take somebody to the question of, well, what did Jesus look like? And we don't know. You know, the common on the street thought is he had shoulder length hair and a beard and kind of looked like a hippie, you know. The earliest images of Jesus was not like that. But the Bible doesn't give us what he looked like on the outside. That's not the image we're being transformed. You know, you get somebody that's 5'8" and you get somebody that's 6'7", well, the 5'8" can't be transformed to the tall person. He can't do that. What he's talking about, the image of God here, the image of Jesus is on the inside, his character. Our character is changing. We're becoming a kinder people, a more patient people. We're becoming a more righteous people, a generous type of people. And what we find is that we're slower to be angry. We're more willing to give somebody a second chance. We're easier to forgive. That's how our image is being changed. And how that happens is spending time with Jesus in the Bible. And you read about him, and you see his patience, you see his kindness. Multiple times, the disciples would tell Jesus to send this person away, send this person away, send the children away. And Jesus never did that. And we start looking at those things and think about, what's my spirit? What's my attitude? And the more and more you spend time with the Bible, your mind starts to change. That's that renewing of the mind. Your mind starts changing. It starts getting shaped, not by the world, but by God. And in the culture we live in today, where there's so much hatred and violence and prejudice and just sharp with each other and angry with each other, that's what we become, or we become like God. Now, let me just say this, and we've said this multiple times on this occasion too, and that is social media has a way of shaping the way you think. And if you spend more time on Facebook and Twitter and you responding and reading everything, that's going to have an impact upon you. There's a wonderful passage we used not too long ago in our Sunday morning service as we began from Psalms 120, where there the psalmist says, I have too long dwelt with those who hate peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we can dwell too long on social media. And why is it that I don't feel like I'm like Jesus? Why is it I'm not having that mind like Jesus? Why am I not transformed? I go to the church services, but I'm the same person. Well, you haven't changed. And maybe what you need to do is spend less time on social media and more time on God's media, and that's the Word of God.
Yeah, what am I feeding my mind with? I think that's such a powerful question. I appreciate you drawing our attention to that very practical truth. It made me think of how the Apostle Paul put it in Philippians chapter 2, maybe a good way of connecting all of these dots. He says in verse 1, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Now you just listen to those words. Encouragement, comfort, affection, sympathy. Social media isn't always full of those sorts of things. But he says, let your mind dwell on these things. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Roger, that's exactly what you're talking about, exactly what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you can know and live in and promote what is good and acceptable and perfect.
You know that little lizard, the chameleon, whatever you put him against, he just changes that. You put him against something dark, his skin somehow becomes dark. You put him about something light, becomes light. Something green, becomes green. He blends in. That's his defense system, is to blend in so you don't notice it. Don't notice him. But when we talk about this concept, that doesn't work for a Christian. You cannot be blending in with the world. The world is going away from Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus would remind us that there's a way that's broad. It's full of people, but its conclusion is destruction. And so either we conform to that, we're following that, or we're going to follow Jesus Christ. And so be transformed. Powerful expression.
What is salvation? We've tried to summarize it in four basic words: redemption, reconciliation, sanctification, and transformation. We've tried to talk about it in a few different videos for people of all ages. And if I could just give you a little nudge today in the middle of this week, there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt in my mind that you know someone who needs the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. what we've got there under that Building Blocks logo at charlestownroad.org is such a simple, basic resource that you can share with others. Maybe you know someone that you could just send the link to this little What is Salvation series. There are interactive worksheets, about 10-minute videos that walk through each one of these words. It is a simple way of sharing what we've been reflecting on. In fact, what has changed our lives and still has the power to change anybody's life in the 21st century.
And so to wrap this up, when somebody says, well, I can't help it. Yeah, you can. You can be transformed. And you can make the choice. I don't have to say those words. I don't have to think those thoughts. I don't have to be mean like everyone around me. I don't have to gossip. I can be what God wants me to be. It's a matter of being transformed, choosing to be that way.
Roger, thanks for joining me today and throughout this little series. Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll pivot back into our typical routine of reflecting on a recent Sunday sermon. But we appreciate all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. If you have found it encouraging, we would love it if you would share it with others. We're looking forward to the opportunities of this evening, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and continue to grow with us.